1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Obama effect in the Democratic National Convention.
The Obamas back in the spotlight on the second night of the Democratic National Convention in their hometown, Chicago.
We are ready for a President Kamala Harris.
Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?
The convention's attention turning from honoring President Biden to introducing Harris to the nation, including her biggest cheerleader, her husband, Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff.
She will be a great president.
Harris and Tim Walz not in Chicago, but on the trail in the must-win state of Wisconsin.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a bill making the state just the fifth to bar corporal punishment in all schools. A federal judge in Greenbelt, Maryland, set next June 9th for the start of John Roskey's trial. He's charged with trying to assassinate Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh at his home. This is ABC News. New COVID vaccines expected this fall. The cost will not be picked up by the government.
The summer surge of COVID cases, the highest levels in 2 years, is hitting as the CDC free vaccine program is set to end at the end of August due to lack of funding. Dr. Richard Besser is president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and says it leaves a gap before the updated COVID vaccines are expected.
If you have health insurance, I would recommend that you wait until the new vaccines are out. It should be a matter of weeks before those are widely available, and they should be more effective. If you don't have health insurance, you can look to see, could you qualify for health insurance in your state?
Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Her family announced the death in her sleep in Catalan of U.S.-born Spaniard Maria Brañas at age 117, considered the world's oldest person. The Gerontology Research Group, which keeps track of these things, says that makes 116-year-old Japanese the latest world's oldest person. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, many of you know I talk a lot about how to improve your credit score in my radio minutes and also in my YouTube videos. But today, I'm going to talk about how to think about your credit score when you're trying to figure out how to get out of a lot of debt. And when you're in that situation, it's important not to let worries about your credit score determine which debts you pay first or how you pay your debts off. In other words, don't just rush to pay off a debt because a collector is threatening your credit. By that time, your credit report likely already shows you're behind and maybe even in collections. And frantically paying won't help much, and not paying won't make it that much worse. Take a breath, make your plan. I know that opening those envelopes and figuring out what's going on can be pretty tough. I'm here to say, it's okay. You can figure it out. You can do it. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris rallied a crowd of thousands at Milwaukee's Fiserv Forum Tuesday night.
We are not going back. We will move forward. Just like Wisconsin state motto tells us, forward!
Her speech was streamed to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. And earlier in the day, a visit from the Trump-Vance campaign, Republican nominee for Vice President J.D. Vance, came to Kenosha.
We are going to end sanctuary cities in this country. We're going to bring back pro-law enforcement cities. We're going to support the death penalty for drug dealers because they kill far more people than some of the most violent and vicious criminals.
We're now 2.5 months away from the election, so no doubt we'll keep seeing lots of each campaign here in Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers with a win over the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers pitcher Frankie Montas goes 7 innings, allowing just one hit, as they held on to win 3-2 last night in St. Louis. Infielder Joey Ortiz making a spectacular play at third to rob Mason Wynn of a hit in the sixth.
I mean, it's easy to play defense when Frankie's up there throwing strikes, getting contact, keeping us involved. Like I said, when he's throwing strikes and keeping us involved, it's easy for us to make plays like that.
Game two is tonight. NFL Packers training camp wrapping up this week, and Matt LaFleur pretending to get upset when a reporter arrived late to his press conference.
How many times are you going to come to my press conference late? We got a rule in the team meeting. You don't interrupt the meeting. Sit your butt outside. Just kidding.
I thought that was directed at me.
I tried to do my best to play that off. Okay.
That's Matt LaFleur, the team with a joint practice session tomorrow against the Ravens. With Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see partly cloudy skies in the overnight and a little patchy fog forming as lows drop to the upper 40s. Our winds will be light. After the morning fog, look for sunshine to break out. Our afternoon highs will warm up into the middle 70s. Currently 49 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
The Next Nightlight is only available to stream on Facebook, X, and YouTube. But that won't stop us. Comedian and TV host Mike Toomey joins the show and Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very, very busy show. Friend and colleague Todd Alba is at the DNC. He is going to be joining us coming up at 10:33. With an update of all the doings in Chicago. I know I stayed up way past my bedtime last night because I wanted to see President Biden. It was worth it. I thought, Calvin, I know you stayed up late too.
Yeah, I don't know if I can say it was worth it. It was a great, fantastic speech, put a great statement on his presidency and a ringing endorsement of Kamala Harris. But yeah, it went really late.
It was really, really, yeah, it was after midnight. I don't stay up that late on weekends, for heaven's sakes. But we're going to recap the DNC coming up with Todd at 10:33. I have questions about merchandise in particular.
What?
Comparing RNC merch to DNC merch.
Yeah.
I think it might be slightly different.
I feel like, just put it out there, I feel like DNC merch is a little more fun.
And less angry.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe less angry.
Less based in revenge.
Mm. Dr. Kristen Lierley, candidate for the 8th Congressional District, joining us at 11:06 to talk about how her campaign is going, what she is running into. And she texted me this morning with something kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
The attacks that you have to put up with when you're a political candidate. Unfortunately, that's just part of the job. But we'll be talking to Dr. Lierley at 11:06. And we're going to wrap up the show at 11:50 with author J.D. Thorne, who has written several books about baseball. One of your favorite things, Greg Bach.
Did someone say baseball?
And he's going to be giving a presentation in Wauwatosa very soon. So we will have all those details coming up at 11:50. And a reminder, too, every night of the DNC Civic Media News team has special coverage for you from 6 to 7 p.m., anchored by Terry Bell. More commentary from Maggie Dawn, Todd Alba, Earl Ingram, and other special guests live from the United Center. So that is tonight, tomorrow, Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. I wanted to start off with Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson doing apparently one of the things, because he does it a lot, it's one of the things he does best. He goes on Fox News and he talks to Maria Bartiromo.
He is excellent at saying words to her.
He is.
He's the best.
He does many words with Maria.
Yes.
And earlier this week, Ron Johnson checking in on Minnesota governor and vice presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, Tim Walz. Let's hear Ron Johnson's thoughts on Tim Walz. Calvin.
Yeah, she's a radical leftist. She chose another radical leftist. They're just assuming, again, that the mainstream media is not going to cover his background. The House is going to investigate it now. It's very strange. You know, he got married on the anniversary of Tiananmen Square. He's gone to China. He's taught in China. He's got deep connections to China.
What? His wedding anniversary is the anniversary of Tiananmen Square. So after he said that, I had to look up my wedding anniversary because, I don't know, shockingly, that's not one thing I looked up when we were preparing for our wedding, is what happened on this day in history.
Well, Jane, I did you and Calvin, I did us all a favor.
Oh, did you check for us?
I checked on all of us. And I looked up, well, Calvin, I looked up your parents' anniversary. And I just want to let you know the crime you committed by getting married on this day. So, Jane.
Yes.
Your wedding anniversary falls on the day of the Black Sox, as well as known as the White Sox. They were the they were indicted to a grand jury for throwing the World Series in 1919. And Jane, what I just like to know from you is, baseball, as we will talk to J.D. Thorne later, is America's pastime. So Jane, why do you hate America? Next.
No, I don't hate America. I just like fraud.
I said next.
I just like fraud. Apparently,
who doesn't love fraud?
The Black Sox cheated,
and so you love cheaters.
It's just like, all right, keep up those really focused attacks, Ron Johnson. You're doing what you do best, going on Fox News, because God knows you don't do anything for your constituents. What about Calvin's parents' crimes?
Calvin's parents' crimes? Thank you, Jane, for bringing that up. Calvin, I looked up your parents' anniversary as best as you could remember.
It was in June sometime.
It's and
May sometime.
May 10th.
The House Un-American Activities Committee was created with Martin Dies Jr. as its chairman. It investigated alleged communist activities, and perhaps its most celebrated case was against Alger Hiss. Now, I have a question for you, Calvin. Your parents got married on that day, not the day of, but on that same day. Your parents entered a communist togetherness, a joint thing, joint together, communism, sharing.
Sharing
assets. Communism is bad. Why does your parents hate America, Calvin?
I couldn't tell you, man.
Are they speaking Russian now?
Just like a communist
would
say.
Speaking of Russian.
Oh, yeah. Who was in Russia?
Oh, that's a great question.
On a 4th of July, which is America's Independence Day, is that correct?
Yeah, people get real ramped up for that day.
Who is in Russia on the 4th of July?
Well, it just goes back to how everything they say is a projection or confession. Ron Johnson was in Russia on the 4th of July and has evident connections with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. So
just throwing that out.
Also,
there.
And this is very serious because we've been talking about the double standard between Donald Trump and Joe Biden with regard to their mental capacity, their age, all the things. Questioning both of them is absolutely fine.
Yeah,
I understand that they're men in their late 70s, early 80s. Fine. But definitely Donald Trump's asked a lot less. What about Ron Johnson? Let's ask that question. For you go on cable news and you accuse a man of being a spy.
It seems
so. And your evidence is he taught in China for a year, which, by the way, how many students from America went overseas to teach in Japan, China, non-English speaking countries? And also he got married on the day of Tiananmen Square.
Tim Walz spent a year in the Far East in 1989, 25 years old. He taught English and American history as part of the World Teach Program. Sounds like a communist plot.
Sounds like a communist plot, Jane.
Learning Mandarin, and apparently he was very popular with his students. No evidence, this is from the Independent in England, no evidence to suggest that Tim Walz engaged in any political activity while he was teaching there. Ron Johnson again, casting aspersions that because he spent a year in China when he was 25, he's 60 now.
And
got married on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, that he's apparently a Chinese spy.
I love that you added that portion about the fact that he was well-liked by the teachers and the students. He is the perfect example of what my father always taught me to be. Tim Walz is. My father always taught me to be the kind of guy that everyone likes and can rely upon. Because at the end of the day, the people who don't like you are jerks. They have a problem with that. They have a problem with his likability. They have a problem with him being liked. They have a problem with his joy. They have a problem that people feel joy around him, and then he fires people up. And so what are they going after? Stolen valor. That was a big no-no. That failed horribly.
Oh, yeah, and Trump just doubled down on what he said again
yesterday. About the medals?
Yes.
Oh, shut up, dude.
He was given an opportunity to walk it back, and he kind of essentially doubled down on it because he's never wrong.
And that's what all these idiots have been doing, too. They've been saying stupid things, and every press person's like, hey, do you want to try to, I don't know, rephrase that? And they're like, no.
No. Obviously, Greg Bach.
Yeah, what?
You yes, are Jane. Hiding something from your past.
What are you talking about, Jane?
We have yet to hear what terrible thing happened on your wedding anniversary.
Oh, my wedding anniversary?
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what happened on my wedding anniversary. The Guggenheim Museum opened up.
Is that all?
Is that all, Jane? The Guggenheim, a museum full of art?
Sounds
liberal trash pushing a communist agenda.
Sounds very subversive.
It's very subversive. Very anti-man. You listen to me, Guggenheim? Designed by Wisconsin's very own Frank Lloyd Wright. But still, I'm talking to you, Guggenheim. Get off my wedding anniversary.
If you're just joining us, in case you missed it, Ron Johnson doing one of the things he does really, really well, appearing on Fox News.
Yeah.
Commenting, he's got some questions for Tim Walz about why he got married on a particular day. Calvin, I think it's worth hearing that clip once more because this is Ron Johnson hard at work on our taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, she's a radical leftist. She chose another radical leftist. They're just assuming, again, that the mainstream media is not going to cover his background. The House is going to investigate it now. It's very strange. You know, he got married on the anniversary of Tiananmen Square. He's gone to China. He's taught in China. He's got deep connections to China.
He's been governor for 8 years, right?
I believe, yeah. Yeah.
He's been governor for 8 years because he's never been vetted. No one has ever vetted Tim Walz. No one knew anything about him. He has no records whatsoever.
When he was in Congress, when he was governor.
Right, no.
But nothing about Tim. This man is a puzzle inside of an enigma, shrouded in a mystery in a dark room that doesn't actually exist. Tim Walz is the Matrix.
Brendan from New Jersey is on the line. Good morning, Brendan. Did you want to confess about what you did on your wedding anniversary? What terrible thing happened?
Keep it clean.
Well, no, I want to know what Greg is hiding under that beard of his. That's all I want to know.
Illegal immigrants. Well, I can't call them. I'm not allowed to call them undocumented workers because that doesn't go with the GOP. But I'll just say, they are not Americans under here.
Is that, Brendan, though, is that just not the, one of the silliest things you've ever heard?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw the clip, but there was a clip on YouTube of a gentleman at the DNC walking up to Charlie Kirk. And when he asked Charlie Kirk a question several times that Charlie Kirk couldn't answer, Charlie Kirk turned, looked at him, and said, "What's a woman?" I mean, this is how weak they've gotten. I mean, come on.
See, and that
thank you, Brendan.
Thank you, Brendan.
Thank you for listening.
That is a perfect. Thank you for sharing that, Brendan, because Charlie Kirk is one of those dudes like Steven Crowder and Ben Shapiro who. And Charlie Kirk is like the king of this. He goes to college campuses, he sets up his little tent, and then he lures people in to have chats with them and demolishes them with all the information he has, and they don't have as much, and then he puts it online, but they don't show when he looks like a fool.
We're going to have a second dose of stupid when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll tell you, Bill Gates, he would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our friend and colleague Todd Alba going to be joining us after the 10:30 news with an update on what's going on at the DNC. I'm really anxious to hear his impressions and what it's been like down there so far. So Todd's joining us coming up at 10:33. Stick around for that. I did want to do a second dose of stupid because Ron Johnson casting aspersions that Tim Walz is a communist because he got married on the anniversary of Tiananmen Square, which is just stupid.
Yes. Can we say just Ron Johnson is stupid? Or he says stupid things.
He says stupid things.
Okay.
I think that's
You're nicer than me.
CNN reporting that the three Republican-led committees leading the impeachment inquiry into President Biden yesterday came out with a report claiming the president engaged in impeachable conduct but did not make a formal recommendation for the House to move forward with impeachment. So essentially 18 months and millions of taxpayer dollars later, and they have bupkis. They got nothing. And yet, we can always count on some Wisconsin Republicans.
Who's up to bat this time? What? Second baseball reference.
Tom Tiffany.
Oh, boy.
Tom Tiffany. Talking to CNN, Callan, let's play that clip.
And there's no evidence in any of the documents put out by the Oversight Committee that a single dollar went to President Biden when he was in office. Therefore, there's no evidence that he did anything illegal, that he abused his power or that he abused his power in office to help his family members or friends get wealthy.
Yeah, Joe Biden has a check in the amount of $40,000 that has his name on it. You got another $200,000 check that came from Jim and Sarah Biden to him. I mean,
sir,
there's
sir,
over $20 million.
So, I actually have that check here.
Oh,
that was a check from 2018 when he was not vice president. And it actually says that this was a reimbursal. This was a loan repayment from his brother.
So you can make the case that the Bidens did not do this while Joe Biden was vice president, but I think it's contrary to the record. And it's contrary to what happened when Joe Biden was vice president and he went and called off the prosecutor in Ukraine in regards to the Burisma investigation.
Sir, that has been debunked. That prosecutor was unanimously disliked by both Republicans and Democrats. And even EU officials said that he was corrupt and they wanted him out. Nevertheless, Congressman, we do have to leave the conversation there. We do appreciate you coming on. We hope you'll come again soon.
That was so useful, Tom Tiffany. Well done. Well done, Blinky.
Bringing Wisconsin pride back where it belongs. There's one very interesting part of that entire clip that when you listen to it, it's not what he says as far as like statements. It's how he pronounces one word. The word is and. He says, and he says it like a child who has been busted lying and is trying to make up another lie to cover the original lie. And when he was vice president, that's when he did things in Russia with vice presidents, and he is communist. You know, it's just so dumb.
Second dose of stupid.
He says stupid things too.
Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us. Did you want to confess what your anniversary date and that how that ties you to communism?
Well, no, but I've got something I think you're going to love. Comer, Jordan, all these clowns, Holly, there's a big number. They cost taxpayer billions. Not millions, billions. Here's why I'm saying that. They will say, oh, no, we didn't. Oh, you only cost us $900 million? Is that what you could? They don't know the number.
Right.
They don't know, and they don't care.
Yep.
And then they insult our intelligence by dumbing down the American public that we believe in this stuff. We don't. They're idiots. They're fools. They need to be gaveled out of politics completely. They have no business being politicians, but when... If the Democratic Party right now would run ads on the cost of these false investigations, the American public would be shocked at how many taxpayer dollars are feeding that garbage. And if they talk to me, I said, don't even waste your time on me. You're insulting my intelligence because your best candidate is a 34-time convicted felon. Don't insult my intelligence by throwing that guy at me.
And they're very upset that that's being thrown around. It's interesting if you're on Twitter at all, Bill. There are some Republicans on there. You can't call him a convict. Well, yeah, we kind of can because he's been convicted.
I call him a felon. I like that more. You guys, and plus, you're the ones printing up T-shirts.
Yeah.
And
embracing it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bill. Really appreciate it, as always.
We got a text from Dave in New Berlin. Says, I believe liberals tend to think more than conservatives. That's why we occasionally vote for Republicans. I voted for Scott Walker when my choice was Mary Burke. My point is conservatives won't research anything. They follow the leader, unquote, with blinders on. Dave from New Berlin. P.S. Please don't get me going on Charlie Kirk. I say naughty things. Trust me, Dave. I get it. I just watched the video during the break. It's not that it's fine, but yeah, this gentleman is coming at him with all this information and he's asking him, why are you here and why are you supporting Donald Trump? And then Charlie Kirk with a big old gummy grin says, what's a woman?
And the kid is just like, really? That's what you got? Yeah,
because that's
what you got.
Because that's all he's got.
855-752-4842. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dom Tiffany needs a challenger. How long has he been in office?
A few years now. I don't think he's been he's not like a
lifer.
No, he's fairly.
Is he relatively new?
Yeah, let me look that up. While
he's been there long enough.
I agree. Some would say too long. He's been in since. Yeah, he's fairly new. He got in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've had a nice 4 years, Tom.
Yep.
It's time.
Yep. Someone else from the 7th. That's Dave Obie's old district.
That's right.
Yeah, we need a Dave Obie back. He's just like, you have Derek Van Orten, who's just a firebrand of stupid. You had Mike Gallagher, who was the only thinking conservative in the Congress from Wisconsin, from that delegation. You have Fitzgerald, who just sits out.
And does nothing.
He is safe. And honestly, I used to say safe, but now I think it's safe for now. Because really, after these elections, we're showing that Jim Sensenbrenner's seat is no longer hollow territory for Republicans only. There can be a challenger. But Tom Tiffany is just like a pinball. Like, where do I go now? What do I say now? And he's just saying nothing. And when you bust him on it, he just repeats it.
Well, it was a beautiful thing when the CNN anchor just held up a copy of the check and said, oh, look, I have this thing here. And Tom Tiffany was like, oh, well, I'll just keep saying words. All right. News is coming up next, and then we'll be back with Todd Alba live from the DNC. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm crazy about you. Don't be stupid.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor. ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Obama effect in the Democratic National Convention.
The Obamas back in the spotlight on the second night of the Democratic National Convention in their hometown, Chicago.
We are ready for a President Kamala Harris.
Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?
The convention's attention turning from honoring President Biden to introducing Harris to the nation, including her biggest cheerleader, her husband, second gentleman Doug Emhoff.
She will be a great president.
Harris and Tim Walz not in Chicago, but on the trail in the must-win state of Wisconsin.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a bill making the state just the fifth to bar corporal punishment in all schools. A federal judge in Greenbelt, Maryland, set next June 9th for the start of John Roskey's trial. He's charged with trying to assassinate Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh at his home. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The governor's task force on the healthcare workforce in Wisconsin is giving more grants to employers so they can attract and retain staff. Other recommendations included in the task force report, education and training, and regulatory policies. The governor will include the task force's ideas in his next budget. And it's an annual contest that can be a lot of fun. The whole goal is to highlight some neat things that are made right here in Wisconsin. Here's James Kelly.
Nominations are now being accepted for the 9th annual Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest. Nominations can be submitted on the contest website through September 6th. To be eligible for the contest, the nominated product must be manufactured in a Wisconsin-based facility. Voting will be open to the public and will feature a bracket-style tournament to name the eventual winner.
Every year, it's a big honor for the winner. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You can track the trajectory for my addiction if you gauge my weight from season to season. Those are the words of Matthew Perry from his book, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. Perry says when he was carrying weight, he was drinking, and when he was skinny, it was pills. And when he had a goatee, it was lots of pills. According to the New York Post, series producers Marta Kaufman and David Crane spoke to the Times of London about their process when they learned of Perry's addiction to drugs and alcohol. Crane said they asked Perry if he wanted to leave the show to deal with his substance issues, to which Perry replied, "No, this is really important to me." Perry said in his book that he estimates he spent roughly $9 million in an attempt to become sober. The late star also said that season 9 of Friends was the only season of the show he was fully sober for. Perry was found dead in his hot tub in October 23 from a ketamine overdose. His live-in assistant has recently been charged, along with four others, in connection to Perry's death. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see partly cloudy skies in the overnight and a little patchy fog forming as lows drop to the upper 40s. Our winds will be light. After the morning fog, look for sunshine to break out. Our afternoon highs will warm up into the middle 70s. Currently 49 degrees.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Albaugh here. Join us next time as we continue our coverage live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Trigby Olson, the Lincoln Project, is here along with Bill McCosh, and we'll break it on down for you. Join us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and the Calvinator coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our colleague live in downtown Chicago, Todd Alba. Good morning, my friend. Can you hear us? He cannot.
Todd, can you hear us right now?
Nope. He cannot hear us. Give us a call on the phone, 855-752-4842. See if we can't get Todd to join us. Technical issues, always challenging.
Live radio, baby.
That's all right. Todd's going to call in just a second. Now, Democratic Convention, of course, kicked off last night at the United Center, and it was a really great night. How's that, Todd? Any better?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
There we go.
Yes. Technology is a wonderful thing.
Hey. Amazing.
So what is the vibe today? I mean, it was a long night. I stayed up until President Biden spoke. It went really late last night. You were there for the whole thing, I assume?
I was not in the convention center proper for the whole thing. I'm standing, for those watching the stream, right outside the United Center right now where everything went down last night, the main thing. But here's the cool thing, Jane, Greg, and Kelvin. After the speech, Joe Biden gave everybody a pair of these.
Oh.
Shut up. Are you serious?
No, I'm not.
Oh, come on.
That would have been aviators for everybody.
Well, that could be seen as voter influence, so you never know.
These are my Wisconsin Air National Guard aviators that they gave me. But they look a lot like Biden, so I thought that would be cool.
Very, very nice.
No, the vibe, and I think that's representative, Jane, of what you're saying. It's a super fun vibe here. And having gone to the RNC in Milwaukee and now this one here, I don't mean to be trite, but it does seem more joyous. I mean, people are smiling, people are laughing, people are having a great time. And I actually ducked out from here early just because we're kind of all sharing different credentials. So I went to a watch party at House of Blues. I'm not sure if you guys ever been.
Yes.
House of Blues in downtown. I've never been in Chicago. Super cool place. They had people that I didn't recognize, but that's okay. I'm old. But I'm told they're very cool people that were playing. And there was a watch party down there, and people were just happy. I mean, not happy because Biden isn't, but happy because he put himself before country.
Yeah.
And that ending line where he quoted this song, I never heard it before, American Anthem. And it was a song or done by the West Point Band or whatever. And he quoted this line about, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but basically at the end of the day, having done your best and leaving everything on the field. And there was this, and again, I saw something online this morning, the difference, right? The contrast, the signs that were being held up on night one at the RNC were mass deportation now.
Yeah.
The signs that were being held up last night here behind me in the convention center said USA.
Yeah.
And thank you, Joe.
Yep.
And for years as a former Republican, you know, for years it was, oh, the Republican Party, you know, somehow loves the USA better and it was more patriotic. And I think it's so fascinating that narrative has flipped this election cycle, that it's the Democrats who are talking about USA, loving our country, honoring the flag. And the MAGAs, the Trumpsters have just, it's just, you know, negative and sour and mean and angry.
Well, Donald Trump calls this a third world country. He just doesn't seem to have a lot of affection for America, it seems to me.
And you know, Trivi Olson and I from Lincoln Project, he's here this week with me. We were talking about that a little bit yesterday. And I talked to Reed Galen last night, also the Lincoln Project. Reed, of course, helped run Bush World back in the day and left the party like Trivi, like myself, and is now at Lincoln Project. And we talked about that a little bit over dinner, this anger, this spitefulness. And part of that is that, and according to Trivi and Reed, who are a lot smarter politically than I am, the Trump team, Chris LaCivita, Susie Wiles et al., really never anticipated that Biden would step down. So they didn't have a plan B on the shelf. And Trump world continues to be in chaos. And so now they've brought in Lewandowski, Corey Lewandowski from the 16 campaign, who has his own problems. And their theme now apparently is just let Trump be Trump and go back to racial slurs and meanness and name calling. I don't think that what I think the key is, I'm babbling a little bit, but the key is here is who's going to build on their base. Donald Trump isn't building on his base. In order to win this election, whoever's going to win is going to build on their base. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are building on their base. We're going to see Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congressman, part of the bipartisan January 6th committee. He's speaking this week behind me in the United Center. That's building your base.
Well, and I think it's important to point out that there are Kinzinger, I believe there's at least one other Republican who's going to be speaking during the DNC this week. During the RNC, he didn't even have any of his former cabinet officials there. I mean, look at the contrast.
Mike Pence was planning on being there, but apparently he got a little hung up.
Oh,
so sure.
Hey-o. Hello.
I mean,
but you're right, JD. You can't even find people that serve with you to stand up for you in the Trump world.
I have a question. You know, you brought up the whole plan B, not anticipating Biden dropping out, which I think is kind of very short-sighted on the campaign side. You know, you have to look at all the options while running a campaign. What if this happens? Yes. What if that? Joe Biden dropping out or, God forbid, passing away before the election. Mm-hmm. Those are all possibilities. But the question is, what would even a plan B look like? It's not like they could say, like, all right, if Kamala Harris becomes the nominee, we got to bring out a nicer, more approachable Donald Trump. There's no plan B with him because you can't tell him what to do. I mean, his own party is saying, stop talking about crowd sizes. Stop fixating on Kamala. Just talk about your issues, appeal to your base, and you'll be fine. And he's like, nope, the Medal of Honor is a loser medal. Let me tell you something. Right. Do you guys know that? So, I mean, right. I guess there would be no plan B even.
I think that's a great point, Greg. And you know, as Rick Wilson at Lincoln Project likes to say, in fact, he wrote a book called "Everything Trump Touches Dies," and that's so true that if he gets involved, to your point, Greg, he is not a guy who changes. I think that the answer, if you will, the quote unquote plan B would have been, did his campaign team have something on the shelf, such as more opposition research on Harris or someone else? If it's not Biden, because they put all their eggs in one basket on Biden's age. That's what Trump kept talking
right.
about. That's what all their ad was, age. In fact, Lincoln Project did an ad here last week, week before, about this, and ran it on Fox Television in Mar-a-Lago and Westminster.
Bedminster.
Sorry, thank you. I haven't had much coffee this morning, guys. But it got under Trump's skin so bad that the Lincoln Project received from Trump's attorneys a cease and desist letter, and Rick Wilson said, pound sand, and they upped the buy.
did that letter come from the law firm of Snowflake, Snowflake, and Snowflake? I'm not right. sure. My goodness.
But your point, Greg, that his team kept saying, just put all your eggs into the age basket. They should have, if they're going to be responsible to their candidate, mm-hmm. said, let's make this a 2 or 3-prong attack. So if one of those things goes away, we can still keep pounding away at 2 and 3. And they never did that.
If you're just joining us, our friend and colleague Todd Alba is live from right outside the United Center in downtown Chicago for day number 2 of the DNC. Going back to Corey Lewandowski and bringing him back into the campaign, for one thing, they must feel pretty confident about their donors, because the reason he got tossed last time was allegedly assaulting and insulting the wife of a very major Republican donor, and that's why they got rid of him. And now they brought him back because I think he's like Trump's Binky. He's Donald Trump's yes. human Binky, who makes him feel good and calms him down, you know, and just he's a human blanky Binky.
Well, I agree. And there was some of the folks in the campaign in Trump world wanted to bring Kellyanne Conway back because it was thought that she could also be a Binky, but she was at least slightly more cognizant of good messaging versus Lewandowski, who's more inclined to just kind of let Trump be Trump and let the chips fall where they may. So there's this internal conflict in Trump world. And I think what you're seeing in the campaign trail, even the little bit of campaigning Trump is doing, remember, you know, there's all these weird attacks on Harris. Oh my gosh, she isn't doing a sit down, interview and well, there's no policy written. she has had, and I've talked to two guys in Galen, Reed Galen and Trivia Olson, who've run campaigns for George Bush, W. Bush, and John McCain. And the agreement around the table last night was, it's hard pressed to find any presidential candidate who has had a more successful 30-day launch in the first 30 days than Kamala Harris on every facet. And nobody was going around saying, well, you know, George W. Bush or Barack Obama is not doing enough interviews. Because when you win, and when you're winning and outraising your opponents and outworking your opponents, guess what? Do more of that.
Yeah.
Don't change.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if you saw it. It came out, I think, yesterday, but going back to Corey Lewandowski, The Bulwark just released an article and talking about, they don't know, Corey Lewandowski doesn't even know what he's doing in that campaign. Like when he was in charge, when he was in charge before, he was in charge, and then he had left in disgrace because he's not cool. But now he's here. And it's just sort of, he's weird. Thank you. And by the way, the GOP is trying to steal that now. They called Tim Walz a weirdo. I'm like, don't do that. You're not good at this. But Corey Lewandowski has no idea what he's doing. The RNC has no idea what he's doing. The Trump campaign has no idea. But they brought him back as if, it reminds me of like the old days of wrestling where, like, you know, your favorite superstar went away. Then 5 years later, they're back. You're like, oh my gosh, The Undertaker is here. What's he going to do?
Right?
He's just going to be here. We just want some ratings. We want some hype.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It was a show over there at the RNC. I think what's really interesting, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, is that Harris is not taking anything for granted. And she is running like she is behind.
Yes.
And she's going out and she is on the road and doing a bus tour. I'm not sure if you guys heard it. We played it yesterday, this clip of Tim Walz over the weekend stopping by a high school football practice.
So smart.
And I mean, that guy, I mean, no wonder he went from no wins to a state championship in 3 years. He knows how to inspire.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, guess what? Trigger made this point. There was no policy in that 2 minutes. There was no deep dive on issues. It was about inspiring people, welcoming people, helping people believe in themselves, in a cause bigger than themselves. And that's what Harris and Walz are doing. And that's, I think, what's exciting people here in D.C., or and the DNC, rather, in Chicago. But also, I think, as we traveled around the state, I was up in Eau Claire when she and Walz were up there. They just make you feel better, you guys. I don't know how else to say it.
And go on.
I just want to say, I don't know if you heard this, Todd, but Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson yesterday doing what he does best, talking to Maria Bartiromo on Fox News. And casting aspersions on Tim Walz because he and his wife got married on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre.
I heard you guys talking about that on the Uber ride over here. By the way, that's another, listening to Uber people around the city is fantastic. I drove Uber for like a year. Everybody should be a taxi driver, Uber driver, at least once in their life. But to your point, I would say this to our senior Senator Ron Johnson. If you think that Tim Walz is a communist because he got married at the anniversary of Tiananmen Square, dude, you went to Russia and saw Putin on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
What up?
Yeah, there's that little thing. There's that little thing. All right, we're going to keep going with Todd Alba. I have questions about the merchandise, RNC merch versus DNC merch.
What are you bringing us, Todd?
Not a Kamala Harris Trump Bible or whatever. Yeah, there are no Bibles being sold here at the DNC, I can tell you that.
More with Todd Alba when we return. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
How serious is youth vaping?
Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5-year-old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And bright stars through the perilous fights, o'er the ramparts we watched.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Sweet Cal Beef on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Our friend and colleague Todd Alba now walking into the United Center headquarters of the Democratic National Convention going on in Chicago. That was the Soul Children of Chicago Choir, who sang the national anthem before things got started last night. They're so good.
Yeah.
They are so, so good. That really set the tone for that whole joyous evening. I was teary-eyed when Hillary came out and got that big standing ovation. Of course, when Kamala Harris came out at the very top, which no one was expecting. And then during President Biden's speech and Dr. Jill Biden's speech, what were your emotions, Todd, as you were watching things last night?
Much as yours. I mean, it was truly a night to honor and thank Jill Biden. And again, I was kind of running some errands, so I'm not sure if that was that entire 10-minute kind of tribute video play over the air last night. There was a 10-minute tribute video that went from basically Joe Biden starting out his career, or even pre his career, all the way. It had all these clips that had Hillary and it had Obama and former President Clinton talking about him. It had Kamala Harris talking about him. It's so moving. Look it up. It's about 10 minutes. But and at the end, it has him talking. And again, quoting the song, you know, American Anthem, of just leaving it all out there. And I thought it was a beautiful evening to it truly was the best way, in my opinion, to hand the torch, to pass the torch, and Vice President Harris coming out at the end, and you can read her lips, and she hugs him, and she says, "I love you," and I thought that was just beyond words.
You know, I said earlier on Pat's show, and I know it can sound naive or whatever, and I know politicians can all have their rough times, but Joe Biden has always been someone who has proven that he holds country above all, he cares about the people. He has to make tough decisions that affect people, but he still, I truly believe, cares about people and inspires what Kamala Harris is taking the baton on, that joy. And something you said to earlier, Todd, was the joy they're feeling and the happiness. Tim Walz going to a football team and visiting with the young players. I think that's the thing that baffles and threatens the Republicans more than anything. They don't know how to deal with joy. They don't know how to campaign against joy. Because the only thing they can do is do exactly what they're doing, is using negative speak, hateful speech, and just that like vengeful bullying tactic that's not working for them, frankly. And I can't wait to watch the video, but that's the thing, is like, it's just always about joy.
Alicia on the live stream says, "I couldn't stop the happy tears last night." And I think you are not alone, Alicia, by any stretch of the imagination. It was the AOC did a great speech. Jasmine Crockett did a great speech. It was terrific. I know tonight is going to be former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama.
That place is going to ignite.
It's going to just be rocking. I also heard Twitter is saying that today is tan suit day at the convention in honor of Barack Obama.
Missed the memo.
That's amazing.
I came in because you guys are talking about merch. So here's one of the merch stands behind me here. So you can see there's all kinds of merch.
Here's,
let me see if I can get the camera closer.
All right.
There's one that says Kamala Harris, the president, make history again.
Awesome.
I like that. The purple one there, trust Democratic women.
Love it.
Look, I'm not sure you can see on camera there, the bling, the DNC, and it's all sparkles and everything, that black shirt there. That's fantastic. A little bit further on, you've got squad goals, I think it says there. It has Biden, Obama, Harris, and I'm not sure who else.
Is it Hillary?
Yeah, sunglasses on.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, you got all kinds of cool stuff here, and that's repeated, repeated all over the convention floor.
I have to say, I am somewhat disappointed, and I asked Brian Kelly about this last night. I said, "Keep your eyes open for a shirtless, muscles rippling T-shirt of Joe Biden riding an eagle." With the Constitution in its beak.
Don't forget there's a machine gun, a big machine gun.
And a big gun and, a crucifix, because that's kind of the stuff they had at the RNC. I just feel like the merch is a little different than what was available at the RNC.
Yeah, there's not, like I said, there are no Harris Bibles being sold here. There's no shirts that say, I love Harris and Jesus, but oddly enough, no shirts that say, I'm voting for a felon here.
That interesting?
Yeah.
I know.
34 count felon, and the biggest controversy for Obama was a tan suit.
Right? We've walked in onto the actual convention floor proper.
You can
see the stage where the Obamas are going to be tonight. And then right above me, you got your ABC News booth, your CBS News booth. So you've got, David Muir, you've got Nora O'Donnell. There's the PBS Hour, News Hour booth. And then further over, you got CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. I mean, it's for a guy, my friends tell me, Todd, you're a media guy who loves media, and they're absolutely right. But it's so cool to see all this and to witness it. It feels small. I didn't, in full disclosure, I was not in the bowl at Fiserv, but I'm told by people who were that this venue is a little bit smaller, a little bit tighter, and just feels more homey, I guess, for lack of a better word. I'm not sure if it picks it up on the camera, but way up at the top, so you can see on my finger there, like almost where those really bright lights are.
Yep.
They're way up on the crow's nest. There's all kinds of, there's booze up there for, I think, WISN out of Milwaukee, WF Channel 3 out of Madison. So all these local stations, and the Chicago stations have nonstop coverage down here, so that's pretty cool as well.
That's really cool.
So neat.
You are doing a recap with Terry Bell and other civic media players from 6 to 7 every night?
I'm one of the rotating hosts, but tonight's my night.
Tonight is your night.
Tonight's my night, baby. I will be on tonight from 6 until 7 with Terry. Tribute Olson's joining us. And a cast of thousands, as they say.
Make sure you tune in and catch Todd and Trigby 6 to 7 p.m. tonight across the Civic Media Radio Network. If you happen to see any people from The Daily Show, Todd, just hug them and tell them I love them all. And that black sparkly T-shirt that you just showed me, go get that.
All right. Well, I'll do my best.
We'll let you go. He's got a lot going on. Todd Alba, thank you for making time. Have a great week down there. We will catch up with you later. Stay with us. News is next. And then we're going to talk to candidate Dr. Kristen Lierley. Will be with us. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll be moving with the Malcors. Ben and Deanna will join us for their weekly segment.
And then Heather Heil swings by to update us on what's going on with the Children's Museum here in Green Bay.
Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the Talk of Green Bay.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.